Good morning, y'all. How you doing? Yeah, we're doing good. God is good, yeah? And all the time? Yeah, say it again. God is good? And all the time? Yes. I'm excited to be here. Little different being on the middle part of coming up here from, but thank you, John, Zach, Tucker, for leading us in worship. Come on, give him a hand. Yeah. Also, in case you didn't catch it a little bit earlier, it's John's birthday. His lovely wife made the slide, so it wasn't me, it was her. She gets all the credit. So everybody say happy birthday, John. Yes. And thank you for giving us the gift of leading us into worship. Appreciate that. Appreciate the space to do all the things that we need to do. So as we dive in, if you would like a little more insight, Pastor Joel has put sermon notes together, and you can scan this code to find more resources on the sermon series that we are working on and learning about, and just a deeper dive into what the Lord is speaking to us. So let's pray, yeah? All right. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, that you are in us, you are among us, and you are already here. You were here and you met us before we got here. You were here with us when we got ready to get here. And we know that you will go with us in the way that we are going to walk the steps that we are taking forward. Lord, I ask that you would just impart your word, Father, that you would speak through me and that you would give the right words to say and that we would all have ears to hear what it is that you want to speak to our hearts to change our lives and leave this place unchanged, not unchanged, leave this place changed by your presence. We thank you for all of that and for this people and this place where we can gather together. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Amen. All right, so before we dig in and get into our Bibles, I'm gonna try not to read a script. I'm not a script person. I'm actually a slide slash paper and notes and journal type of person. So this is the first time I'm preaching off of an iPad, taking some notes after Pastor Joel and Caroline and everybody else who is younger than me. And so we're going to try this together for the first time. But before we dive in, I would like us to take a look at a very famous piece of cinema, and that'll be on the screen. Let's go ahead and watch. Brooke. All right, give it up for Yoda, yeah? even though it was a four-minute-long clip, we had to go through that whole clip in order to get the point. And I know we're all Star Wars fans, so it's all right. Love Chapel Hill. So I do have to reiterate one thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a person. And as Pastor Joel led us last week in the teaching, he is a third person of the Trinity, fully God, co-equal, and co-eternal. So, well, he is not, but he is, but he's not, right? You get what I'm saying? You want to put it down, right? And sometimes it's a little bit hard to grasp, but we often treat the Holy Spirit like a force, like it's some magic power, like, oh, it's going to wield to my way, and I'm going to tell it to do something, and then, wow, it's a force, I'm going to move it. That's not really how the Holy Spirit works. And so, the power of the Christian life isn't about learning how to tap into a spiritual energy grid so you can manipulate your circumstances. It's about a relationship of absolute surrender to a holy and sovereign God who is three in one. However, I do think the force is a little bit like faith, and where Luke could not because he did not believe, right? So when we have faith, sometimes we cannot because maybe we just don't believe. Well, we can mull this over, and if we were in the varsity and we were setting up the stage right now, the whole worship team would be having this entire conversation about how this worked and our theological differences and where this went in and what R2-D2 had to play and where C-3PO was, right? Like, there would be this whole massive conversation that I love about our Love Chapel Hill team. But we're not going to do that right now. We can save that for our community meal in a couple of weeks. And we're going to dive into how that applies to our sermon today. So last week, Pastor Joel kicked off our series by reminding us that the Holy Spirit is, do we remember what he taught us and how to say it? Yeah, Ruach. At the age. Ruach, Holy Spirit, Ruach, and is the literal breath of God. He challenged us to stop holding our breath, to stop trying to survive on the spiritual salt water of worry and striving, and simply yield control to the one who hovers over our chaos to bring forth life, right? And the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. The Holy Spirit can hover over our chaos. But here's where many of us get stuck. We breathe in God's presence on Sunday morning, but by Monday afternoon, we look at the swamp of our actual circumstances, and we instantly start gasping for air again. We slip right back into trying to live based on our own theological specs and sheer human effort. We pull the trigger, we strain, we strive, we beg, we plead, and even like Luke, we go into the corner, put on our jacket, and throw a little bit of fit. And we try to use our own human strength when nothing is moving to lift things that only a supernatural power can move. So today we move from the theology that Joel gave us last week into the actual reality of what that looks like to walk it out. So if the Spirit, the question is, if the Spirit is breath inside of us, how does that breath become the power that works through us? So let's look at why God gives us this power in the first place. If you want to use a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. We've ordered new Bibles. They're super cool. Like I said, I'm a pen and paper kind of a person. If you have it on your phone, feel free to pull out your app and, generation, whatever you are, go that way. And let's turn to Luke chapter 4. And this is after Jesus has returned from the wilderness, where he went in full of the Spirit. He was tempted by hunger and by testing God and worldly power, and he turned and used the word to combat these temptations. Not his own willpower, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit and knew God, and he knew the word of God. So he came back and to the synagogue, and he opens up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah had given to him, and in verse 18 he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Super, super famous words. He's quoting a prophecy. This is tying in, you know, the people that are present know. They know their word. They know their Torah. And so they know exactly what he's talking about. But I want you to notice the immediate connection. The immediate connection is that he declares the presence of the Spirit is directly tied to a mission. Not to his gain, not to a career, not to anything, but to a mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, what? To preach good news to the poor, to come give liberty and freedom and help people out of bondage, to set the captives free. He had a mission. And as Joel taught us, the word for the Spirit is what again? Ruach. It is the very presence of God's life-living breath. And when Ruach falls, when he gives breath, things move and happen. It is the very presence of God's life-giving breath in Numbers 11:25 that the Ruach fell on the 70 elders and they prophesied. We're talking Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit isn't just a New Testament thing. This is something that has always been. Sometimes we just don't really recognize it that way. In Judges, how many of you remember Gideon? Yes, and the fleece. The Spirit literally clothed Gideon to conquer an entire army. Again, mission. He didn't clothe Gideon to make him feel better. He clothed Gideon to go lead and conquer the army. In 1 Samuel 16:13, the Spirit rushed upon David, and from that day forward, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was for what? Another mission. He went. He brought worship. He came before the king. Yeah, he was not perfect. He was not by all means, a saint. But he had a heart after God. And it was never for performance, for his ego, or for his comfort. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he speaks truth. And in John 14, 5 through 6, and I think I have that scripture. Yes. We see that Thomas said, they're having this conversation with Jesus, right? Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? We don't understand, right? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, you know this, and the, no one comes to the Father except through. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him, right? So he says, what? He is the way, the, and the, okay. So, our reality must find its existence in truth. I'll let you sit on that for a second. A lot of the times, our carnal minds cannot wrap our heads around what is happening in the spirit is because we're looking for truth. We're looking for evidence. We are looking, and sometimes, yes, we do need to believe, and some things are beyond our understanding. The Lord talks about that in many of his teachings, right? And he gives us peace that goes beyond our understanding. But if it brings it back to it, our reality needs to find its existence in truth. And what does he say? He is the way, the... I mean, that did it for me. I have this written in one of my notes from several years ago. Done, right? Like, he is our truth. We can find our reality and our existence in him and trust the words that he speaks. And therefore, what he speaks, his promises are truth. And they can become your reality if you have faith, expectancy, and if you don't do what Luke did, you believe. So there are several ways that the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And this is just a quick list of how this goes. And so he reveals God's truth through scripture and helps us understand God's will. He convicts our hearts' actions and provides clear direction through a sharp awareness of right and wrong. He provides divine wisdom, grants clarity for difficult decisions that exceed our human intellect. He imparts spiritual gifts and distributes those abilities to serve the church community. He produces inner fruit, and that fruit comes out of the transformation of our inner character. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, you know, we know that fruit. The Holy Spirit also intercedes in prayer and gives supernatural courage. And he intercedes in prayer when our own words cannot be found. He supplies bold witness and gives us the courage to share your faith despite any fears or opposition. And actually, in America, we find that most of the time it's insecurities and, you know, those kinds of things with their social constructs. Sometimes there's not always a great, but, like, I mean, let's be real. We're not literally dying for our faith right now. There may come a time where it is, but we're not. And so I heard, was it John Christ? He's a comedian. I don't know if you're a Christian comedian. He's hilarious. He said, you know, yeah, my heart is hard, but if you take the heart of the world, I probably would keep my problems. And so sometimes, yes, our things that we're facing are hard, but we can ask God to give us the courage to go and proclaim. But notice that the Spirit actually empowers proclaiming truth, breaking chains, and executing God's mission. So when we pray and we use our prayers to chase our own selfish ambitions, we are self-seeking. And if we know anything about our word, it says that love, which is the greatest these, it's not self-seeking. And anything that we want selfishly for me in self-seeking can be literally considered an idol. And when I was growing up, I was like, oh, what are idols? Idols were little statues, right? Like Old Testament, when they went in and there were all these idols and they were taking it and they had to have this literal physical representation of what a god was or a golden calf. And we learned back in our last series in Exodus with the U.S. About the golden calf. And I think it was Pastor Justin who explained how They were still searching for the presence of God. And they built the calf as a representation of the presence of God because they couldn't find God without Moses, right? And so idols aren't just the statues, but idols in reality are anything that we place above God. So that can be our comfort, our anxieties, money, jobs, family, addictions, anything that is self-seeking. And the Holy Spirit will never fuel our idols, ever. So if you're ever questioning, is this of God? If it's self-seeking, yeah, we can want things. But if it is self-seeking, it ain't it. That ain't the mission. It's not what God called us here to do. He empowers his kingdom. So if you're praying to fuel your own personal empire, don't be surprised when heaven stays silent. So once we realize that this power is for his mission and not our ambition, we run face first right into our next problem. Boom, right away. We do what Luke did in our clip, and we look at the assignment, and we don't feel good enough. I can't do it. My weakness is not enough, and we realize that we do not have what it takes. And let's look at how the Spirit changes our internal reality. So the reality of internal transformation. Number two, I have 3 points, and then a little bit more. Christianity is not a religion of striving. It is a relationship of yielding. We sing that song, Abide. I'm pretty sure we're all at the point where we can remember it. We sang it a lot. We sang it at retreat. There's no striving, just abiding. There's no in you. Yes, y'all are recruited. Thursday practice, 7 o'clock. But there's no striving, just abiding. When we are abiding in his presence, that's when it changes. That's when our own ambition changes to look at his mission. In Acts, the first chapter, Luke references his former book, pointing back to everything that Jesus began to do. And in the Gospels, we see over and over that the disciples were trying so hard in their own faith, and they were falling and failing miserably. Think about Peter. I love Paul. Love Paul. But thinking about Peter, okay, we know his story for the most part. Peter tried to walk on water, okay? He saw Jesus and he's like, tell me to come to you. Give me the mission. I want to be with you. Give me the mission. So he gets out and he has faith. And like for me, I have fear of heights. And even though we rock climbed for my entire life, fear of heights. And I'm like, no way. I don't want to take that first when we rappel off the cliff. For me, the hardest part was jumping. Once a jump, it's a free fall. You know, you did this whole thing. Like, woo, yeah, put your legs out. It's great. And it's a rush. But Jumping into the water. I'm not a great swimmer, so there's that part of it. But he got into the water. But where he found his faith failed was when he looked around and he started thinking, I need to continue walking on the water. He lost sight of the mission to get to Jesus. And so it's in the second step is where he faltered. And often that's done, like, we're here, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm doing this, I believe, I'm going for it. And then what? Second steps. He steps out, gets terrified, sinks, reaches out to Jesus, and in that moment, he still knew to reach to Jesus. That's where he came back. He brought it back. And as many times we fall, we fail, we lose faith, our thing, we need to reach back out to Jesus. Later, Peter, tried to defend Jesus with a physical sword in the garden. He failed. Chopped off some dude's ear, caused a whole shenanigan, and then proceeded to deny Jesus 3 times to a teenager because he felt the pressure, right? The Lord and Savior, we saw, denied it. I want to talk about peer pressure. It was not okay. That is Peter in the flesh. That is Peter, what my teenagers would say, crashing out. But later, that one's for Riley and Avery. They're not here, but at least I didn't say 6, 7, right? There it is. So Peter stands in later in Acts And this exact same Peter who faltered in faith stands up in front of the crowd that crucified Jesus. He boldly preaches to them and he says, you are the ones who crucified. And even though you're the ones who crucified, he comes and he wants to help you, he wants to save you, he wants to love you. And thousands are changed. The key part of that story is the Holy Spirit came upon him. The book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came down onto the church and empowered them. And it was when that happened that things shifted. And the church became the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit. They became a community. They started helping, feeding each other, working together, giving their money, giving to each other. This whole circle of life started happening. And they became an example of what the church should look like. There's a structural progression that happens. And if you looked how God shifted his strategy of the Holy Spirit throughout history, in the Old Testament, Solomon built the temple to house the Holy Spirit. So he did that so God would be with them. In the Gospels, Jesus walked among us in the human flesh, and God was literally beside us. But at Pentecost, after he left, and side note, in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, he's like, God, back, and I rose from the dead, and here I am, and I'm going to teach you, and then I'm going to be with you always. And then we turn the page, and he's like, peace. How are you going to be with me always? And you just disappeared. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. So the veil was torn and it went from God with us to God besides us to God in us to work through us. As the Holy Spirit rests on us, and I know I'm going fast because I want to make sure we go and everybody's hungry all the time. So you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, by trying harder. It is not anything of performance, anything we can do on our own. Also, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit to share the mission, to go. He said, go. Go love. It's really cool. I was seeking and like, what do I do in this in-between time before we moved? And came to this part of Acts and when he's giving the Great Commission. And I wrote, go love in Carolina blue. Go, love. Yeah, love. Love Chapel Hill. Go. No idea that's where we were going. I think I geek out on that all the time. I'm like, okay, Lord, you were speaking at that time when I didn't even know. So if you isolate your fruit, if you put your fruit in a plastic bag that it came in or whatever it came in, and you put it away because I want to save it and it's so beautiful and it smells so good and I need it for later, what's going to happen to it? Spoils. You got to do something with that fruit. Next steps. Holy Spirit rests on us. Holy Spirit, we abide. The fruit comes, and then we go, and we share, and we multiply. It requires community, and it requires practice, and it doesn't produce overnight. It's not about your effort. It's not about striving. It's about abiding. The closer you draw to Jesus, the more you walk in the Spirit, the less enticing sin becomes. Sin isn't conquered by willpower. It is replaced by his presence and power. And when you possess this internal transformation, your daily walk changes. You stop demanding total control over the future, and you stop trying to navigate by external opinions. So I'm going to get to this part, and I do have two illustrations for you because that's what I do. And our pastor had done this illustration. I was like, oh, I did not think of that. This morning I woke up, and it was like the team, we're going to change the song, and we're going to do another bridge. All right, you're ready. That's great. To us, the worship team, we do this all the time. Jesus speaks, and the map changes. So here we go. Let's pray that it works the way that I remember it works, because I didn't try this at home. So here's us. Yes, we're full. The Lord filled our cup, and we have the Holy Spirit. I have fruit, water, and I'm going to give water to others. So I'm going to pour some here. Ooh, you get a big cup. Yeah. Half full, half empty. We're going to do this here. Yeah? Great. What happened? Right. So what do I need to do? Get refilled. From where? The source. There you go. Thank you, Brooke. So, but often, fancy pack of professional tennis balls. It's ping pong balls, yes. Yes, thank you, Walmart delivery at 2 o'clock last night. Okay, so we fill our things with, oh, well, I'm tired, so I'm going to take a nap. For me, that's me. I'm going to take a nap and eat some cake. And I need somebody else. Please tell me I'm doing a great job.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. There's another tennis ball. Ping pong ball. And we fill our cup with these things. And it may not be, okay, so I'm not filling it. I'm going to turn to whatever it is that I'm addicted to. It could be alcohol, drugs, TV, chocolate, more chocolate. I like food. And all these things to fill our cup. Is it full?
Something.
Right? Is that the right fruit that I'm wanting to give? We want to be, no. We go to the source, as Brooke said. This is the part that I got to remember. Let's pray this works so I can remember. Holy Spirit, we go to his word. We pray. We seek him, seek his face. God, fill me up. I need to know that I'm doing this right. And he confirms that in our soul. He confirms that through his word. Always goes back to the word. If it's not in the word and it ain't true, it ain't right or wrong, it ain't God, right? The Holy Spirit does empower our own ambitions. And as he fills us up, oh man, there we go. What happens? Right? And look, I was overflowing. There's enough of the Holy Spirit to pour out into everyone. Empty? No. Overflowing? Yes. So, thank you, Pastor Brian, for that wonderful, whatever that was. When we try to navigate by our own control and put other things in the place of the Holy Spirit, in the place of what Jesus is doing in our lives, in the place of the mission that he gave us, and put our own mission. I heard somebody say once, if God doesn't give me this job, I'm going to stop believing. That ain't it. That's not why we serve God. We don't serve God for what he can do for us. And if you are, and if that's where you are, that's okay. Talk to somebody. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to us. Look around. We're here for each other. That's what the community and the church is for. Mission, not our own ambition. So as we stop trying to navigate by our own external and internal opinions and the voices of everybody else, we find that God gives us the compass and the next step. So he doesn't give us the map. He doesn't say, here, this is where you're going. He gives us a compass and our next step. He says he's going to be a light unto my feet, right? A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Okay? So if I take out a lamp, or I'm holding a candle, I can maybe see in the dark, especially in North Carolina. Like, man, I got forests behind my house now, and it's something else trying to see all the way. What is back there making that Sasquatch noise, right? We have the light unto our feet path. He's going to show us here. He doesn't always show us way over there. He gives us a compass. He says, this is the way to go. And we have to seek him and ask him. Not always is it this big, huge, audible voice, Chrissy, go to North Carolina, like, go and do. But he does give us what I call signs. And this is the fun part where you get the Holy Spirit believing Pastor Christy now, because we're moving into the faith part. And I can tell you, let me be a witness to what our God can do. Like, kid you not, been in the deepest, deepest of muck, the mud, the things, and God, when you are following him, he can do miracles. He is alive now, just as he was alive then. And I truly believe that. All right, so, illustration number two. I was going to say I need a volunteer, but I have already pre-volunteered my son, Zachary, to, as always, he is my accomplice to everything. Come on up, Zachary. Everybody give him a hand. Okay. So, we are seeking the Holy Spirit. We're asking what his mission is. What, Lord, do you want me to do? Some of us know what he wants us to do. Some of us know what he's called us to do. And sometimes those mix. Sometimes he's called me to be a doctor. And being, he's definitely not called me to be a doctor, but to be a doctor. And in being a doctor, I'm helping people. And that is the mission, to give the love through helping others, right? It doesn't have to always be, are you on the worship team? Again, Thursday night practice, 7 o'clock. or serving or preaching or teaching, whatever it is, he's called us all to different ministries. He's given us all different gifts so we can all do the same things. The doctor told me the other day, she's like, oh, I've always wanted to sing. And I was like, I'm so glad you're a doctor. Because if not, yeah, no, not me. Math, 4 plus 4, I only need to count to 6 and 8, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so. These, do you have your in-ears? Sweet. Okay. This is an X5 pad, for those of you who do not know, and inserting music stuff all over the place. They are called in-ear monitors, okay? And the worship team, thank you, Jesus, for your blessing and for using those to give to us. We thank you for this because this is an amazing gift for us. And thank you for using and bless those who gave and who followed the mission and gave. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Amen. All right. So, this is our in-ear pack. That's how I talk to God, by the way. Always, all the time, constant prayer. We get instructions through the leader, the director, or other people who have the power to speak to us in our in-ears. So you can see every once in a while we're wearing them. John has them on right now, the in-ears. And generally, we have this little switcher over here where, yes, you hear me, and then I push the button, and then I talk to the band. So I tell them, all right, we're changing the song, play C. And they go to, and they play C and they follow it, right? I'm giving them the light, the direction, and usually just 1, maybe 4 seconds ahead of what chord they're going to next and what word they're gonna sing next. And they so graciously follow the lead. I do that more often. Sam and John don't do it as much, but they follow the Holy Spirit. They're a little more structured than I am. So anyway, all that to say, that's what this is. Okay, so when we plug in, we can hear. Now, I gave some of you a card. If you want to take out your card of instructions, if I gave you a card. Okay, now, Zach has, and I know this because I'm his mom. I'm going to pretend I'm God. I'm not God, but I know what he wants, right? I'm his mom. I know him. I know his, he knows my voice. I know what he wants. I know what's good for him. I think that's fair to say. Like, this is better for you. Don't do this. I'm your mama, right? God the Father. Yes, we're going to use that language. So, God has good things planned for us, as John was talking about. It's not always this direction of, like, you're predestined. But he can see ahead. He is outside of time. If you've ever seen Interstellar, how many of you have seen Interstellar? Oh, yes. And if you haven't, you should watch it, because it literally, if you think about it, in the concept of who God is and the Father, as in the movie in Matthew McConaughey, as God being outside of time and being able to see and give, like, clues. He's like, here, go here. Yeah. Okay. Super cool. Watch the movie. Do the background. So cool. Anyway, knowing what's best for us, he wants good things for us. Doesn't mean that he's telling us, do I want to give Zach what's good for him? Do I want to give you what's good for you? Yes. Okay. do you feel safe? is anybody making you do this? Yes. Blink twice. Yeah, exactly. So, I know that Zach's favorite candy is Twix. What's your favorite candy? Twix. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. All right, that's where I'm going to stop. So, his favorite candy is Twix. Zach, somewhere in this room, there is a Twix. Because I want good things for you. Yes, good things for you. Do you know where this Twix is? No, he doesn't know. Really, he doesn't know. Do you think I want you to have this Twix? Probably. Do you want this Twix? Okay. Yes or no? Yes, we're working on definitive answers, because that's what's good for him too, okay? So, yes, he wants a Twix. Okay, I have given instructions on how to get to this Twix, okay? He's not tapped into the in-ears yet. He's not tapped into God yet. He's going to listen to you, okay? on the count of three, Zach, you're going to follow their instructions. I'm going to give you a hot second to get him to where he needs to get. Those of you with the instructions, I want you to yell out where to go get this. Do you want the Twix for him?
Yes.
Oh, yes, everybody wants what's good for you. We want the Twix, okay? There are four Twix in this pack. He could share his fruit with you. I know, right? And it's so stinking amazing. All right. It's got caramel. I don't want any. Onions. So, anyway. Onions. I don't like onions either. All right. Those of you with the direction cards are ready. On the count of three, we're going to yell out the directions. Get him to the Twix. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah, thank you all for doing a wonderful job. All right, how many of you actually know where this Twix is at yet? Okay, if you got the card, Bryce.
I have the card that says it's under the drums.
It's under the drums. Is it under the drums? Okay, I hope not. It'd be smashed right now. All right, who else has the card? What did your card say?
Joel has it.
Who else has a card? Go for it. Which piano? Either one. All right, Brooke?
The window, although there's lots of windows.
So. Right? Which one?
Yeah, there's so many windows.
Caroline?
Take five steps to the left and turn around.
Is it there?
It's in the drum.
There you go. All right. Did any of those things lead him to the mission?
No.
Did they give him the mission? Did they lead him to the prize? No. Do you want the Twix for him?
Yeah.
Yes, we want the Twix for Zach because he loves it, and I know that he loves it, right? I wanted to give it to him. So as God, a.k.a. God, Mom, giving him the Holy Spirit, okay, his in-ear monitors, all right? Here we go. Plug in. Let's hope the batteries stay charged. I'm going to give you some volume. Okay, so he's actually having to put his headphones on. Can I do that for him? I mean, you could, but right? Like, should I? No. I'm not going to do it for him. Okay? All right. He has him in. I can give him this. He has to, what are you going to do with it? Plug him in. Thank you. He's going to plug them in. He has to literally, physically do it himself. I gave him the tools. I told him it's here. I said, this is what's good for you, Zach. I want what's good for you. Okay? Chocolate Twix.
Chocolate Twix!
And I want you to share that. I want you to share it with it when you get it. Okay, can you hear? Let's test. Test 1, 2, 3. Can you hear? Okay, all right. So now he's got, I am God, I gave him the tools, okay, AKA the word. And I also gave him the Holy Spirit. Okay, making sure I'm doing the right things. Okay, so we go to God in prayer. He came to me to get the answer. Gave him the word of God, which is our Bible, right? And praying and hearing and listening to the Spirit. Okay, now, I want you all to do it again. All right, we're going to give him the directions. And now he knows what you think. He knows what you're saying, and he knows exactly who has these directions, yes? Okay, all right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Zach, we're excited. You got the Twix. Open them up and share them, please. You can share with whoever you want. Don't fight, y'all. There you go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Cool.
That's it. All right. So he stopped listening to the crowd, and he started listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, what you don't know is, yes, did I tell him what to do? No. The one person who had the correct directions, Wes. Wes has a microphone back there that goes to our in ears, and he tells us, hey, Pastor Joel went to the bathroom, keep going, right? Like, this is what you got. You have no idea sometimes how this works. So these in ears, and what he did was he gave him the clear directions. Once he had the directions from Wes, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, he followed them, and he accomplished what he needed to do. So who are you listening to? He stopped listening to the crowd. He stopped listening to everybody else's admissions. Who are you listening to? We want the map, so we ask the world. We read self-help books, which are great, but they're not the Word of God, even if they're Christian self-help books. They're still not the Word of God. We scroll social media. We listen to audiobooks. I'm an audiobook fan. I've had lots of audiobooks. Physical books, not so much, which is crazy because I just told you I like paper. And we listen to the shouting voices of culture and the things that are happening around us. We ask AI. Fun story. AI going through things, trying to get accurate information. Paid for AI Pro. Ouch. The water. So dry. The water. And it came back with an incorrect answer. And it lied to me. I was like, well, wait a second, you gave me the answer. That's not what you said a minute ago. Yes, I'm having a conversation with a computer, which is not even a computer. It's not even a computer. It's AI. Anyway, it gave me the answer that it thought I wanted. It was curated to make me happy. Yeah, right? So I went back and forth with it. Yes, I got in a fight with AI, and I called it out. And I said, what did you do? Why did you lie to me? And it lied to me again about why it lied to me. I said, you have contradictory information. Why are you, you hit the fourth wall. Why, what do you mean with the fourth wall? What is the fourth wall? What are we talking about, right? So it just got more complex and more confusing, and it trailed so far away. And when I called it out, and it got defensive, I said, why did you get defensive, and why did you lie to me? And it said, I mimicked human behavior, but I have no moral. Think about that the next time you want to ask AI if you should be going back to your ex. right? Like, I don't know what we're doing with our lives. But, like, seriously, when we're no moral compass, what is our moral compass? The Holy Spirit. The Word of God. Where do we ring to? How many times are you needing something? Are you needing an answer? Are you going back to the Word of God? Yes. Can this thing tell you something different every single time? Yes. Can you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you? The truth, because Jesus said he is the way, the and the life. And our reality needs to be found in his truth, in Jesus. So when Zach relied on all the opinions and all the voices, he did not get where he needed to go. The moment he put on the headset, he heard the voice and found the prize. When we dive into scripture and we spend time in prayer, we are putting on our spiritual in-ear monitors. When you see this pattern, and I'm getting close to wrapping up, I promise. I showed you a couple of different Old Testament, old school examples, and Joseph is my favorite. Why? Because I also receive visions and see dreams, and he had a supernatural vision of his future. But what happened when he shared that vision? Yeah, prison. His family hated him. They got jealous and angry and tore his clothes and his favorite jacket. They tricked their dad into thinking that he died, threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, and then he got accused of cheating, and he went from high to low to low to high, to all of this craziness. And yet he still followed what God told him to do. He followed the mission, not his ambition. When we moved, a lot of you know this story. The Lord gave me a vision. He told me, it's time to go. And it's not like he had this audible voice that spoke to me that time. he said, you're going, I felt a stirring in my soul. Things were just getting uncomfortable. And I was comfortable. I had a good job. I had health insurance, things like that, right? Like, comfortable, provided. I hit a point in my life where I was like, I'm doing this on my own. I'm trusting in God. But like, yeah, my kids, I'm providing. I'm a single mom. I'm healing. All of this wonderful stuff has happened. And I feel good. And so then all of a sudden things started to get uneasy. There were things, there was friction in my life. And not because I was doing anything wrong. The Lord was starting to shift. So I said, all right, Lord, what is it that you want? What does he want me to do? And in Habakkuk 2:2, he says, write the vision, make it plain. I wrote it down. 300 things. Because Steve Harvey said to do 300 things. That was another voice. So, 300 things. Everything that the Lord had showed me and more. And what would it take for me to get there? Like thousands of dollars. A whole job transfer. Miraculous things that are never, ever in my mind ever could happen. And so I'm going to fast forward because it's an extremely long story. The Lord provided. The Lord provided from the old Christmas things that I found in the basement that ended up being sold at a garage sale. And I made like thousands of dollars in 2 weekends at a garage sale. Provided the gas to get here. I said, okay, this job comes, I'm going to take it. And if this other one happens and Love Chapel Hill and the university come together, and if I get that one, then I'm going to do this one. And if I get that one, I started putting stipulations on God, right? Like, if that's it, that's your sign. And then both happened. So where's my next step? Go. Love. Written down above Acts. In blue, right? Go love. So looked at Zach and I said, this is what God said. He said, God said to do it. Let's go. Packed our stuff. My family was not happy. Half of them, Zach said, I use half, half, half. And he says, that's not whole. And your math isn't mathing. I've got girl math. Some of them were upset. Some of them were hurt. Some of them were supportive. Some of them were just sort of medium, like you do you. I don't really believe that you're going to do this. Okay. Even leaders, spiritual leaders in my life said, this is not God. This is you. And I doubted. I can ask my kids. I doubted. I wasn't sure. Should I do this? What did I do? We did it. God said. How many times did Grandpa Zach back there tell me? Mom, God told you. Mom told you. Did he tell you? God told you. Yes. He wanted to go. Let's go. Pack our stuff. 3 weeks later, we're pulling in. Half of y'all are moving us in. It's 4th of July. We're moving our stuff into the house. And everybody leaves. And I broke down and cried. And I said, what did I do? As most of my belongings are still on the porch because we can't get them inside. And all the boxes were packed. And I've got this tiny house. And I left my good job. And I had a house. And I had my family. And I had everything that I thought I wanted. And I gave it up, and I made the wrong decision. Zach puts his arms around me as I'm crying on the porch on the 4th of July after, like, zero sleep, 48 hours of no sleep. And he says, God told us to come here. We got to have faith, Ma. Okay? Pack our stuff. Do the things. Kids are there. Go to, I think, Bryce's house. No, we went for 4th of July. Somebody's house. You invited me, so I don't know. It's your house. Dubbed your house. For a party and hung out with a bunch of people. I had no idea who you were, what we were doing, why you were here, other than that God told me. Did I listen to the crying of the crowd? No. I did. Did I doubt it? Doubt the walk? Did I doubt what they were saying? Yeah. Did my dad want what's best for me? Yeah. Is it scary to be across the country without my dad to come help me fix my tire? Absolutely, right? Like, totally scary. No, following the compass isn't always a neat and organized journey. Since then, twice I've had to pack up my stuff and move again to another place. And one, actually both, within a week, 4 days that I had to pack up because of other circumstances, like mold. Pastor Joel has deemed it the 10 plagues. Mold, sewage, and even in the new place, mice. Like, what in the world? Why? Why? I prayed when I had that little house. God, if you give me a bigger house, I will bring the praise team. I just want to have practice in my living room. Moved to house number 2. What did we do? We had practice in my living room. Were we tight quarters? Heck yeah. Was extremely fun. Yes. I cried that night. I said, God is good. All the time. And all the time. God is good. He works all things for good. Fast forward. New place. He blesses with another new place. Yes, it had mice and raccoons. In the attic. Craziness. Yes.
Does that feel great? No. Did I lock myself in Zach's room when he went to camp and screamed and cried and definitely shared and complained to God and to other people? The graciousness of all of you heard me complain about the new house, even though the house is what I asked for. How many of us ask for something, pray that the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and then 5 years we're complaining about the blessing that he gave us? I'm still learning that one. It's not easy. None of this is easy. Anxious, yes. Doubted, yes. Complained, yes. I want the comfortable map, and I don't want any mice or mold. Mice are better than mold. Weird to date, like three days, no mice. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord Jesus for no mice. And all of those things, what did he do? He says, do not be anxious for anything. Take these things to God in prayer. And he is faithful and just. He answers us, sometimes not in the way that we want it to happen. I keep saying quick story. I want to get you guys out of here soon. I told Joel, I said, this is really hard to get it within 60 minutes, bro. I don't know how you do it. Here I am like, shave it down, pastor. So we were in that rainstorm that happened last weekend, the one torrential rain that came down, and been praying for rain. Well, of course, it rains when I'm on the back, way back from wherever you were, because I don't ever know where we are in North Carolina, and it's pouring, and I can't see, and the power is out, and we're on the highway, and the road is just, the rain is sweeping over the road, and I can't see the lines anymore, and I'm getting nervous. I've driven through blizzards. I've driven in feet of snow, four-wheel driving, almost hit a moose, like all these things, and this was intense. North Carolina highway driving in the rain when you can't see is intense. So, sheets are raining on through highways are flying by. No, semis are flying by and throwing water at me. And I'm like, no, so I'm straightening up and I turn the music off, you know, because you can't see if you have the music blaring. I can't see. So, turn the music off and I'm doing, and I start praying. Lord Jesus, get us there. Just please get us home safely. I can't see. Show me the way. Just praying the whole time. And then, Lord, please take away the mice. I don't want to go home to the mice. Please take away the mice. Let there not be mice, or at least let catch the mice that are there so I don't have to deal with them later next week. And yes, and yes. And then I proceeded to tell Zach something, which I couldn't even tell, and looked at him, and he's like, I was talking to you. He's like, oh, I thought you were still talking to him. Didn't know you were talking to me. Didn't know you didn't answer. What? The constant prayer. Go to God in prayer. That's what our prayer life can look like. It doesn't have to be anything formal. You don't have to have specific words. You don't have to go to seminary to pray to God. Just go to him. In Exodus 14:16, God didn't part the Red Sea with Israel sitting in their tents complaining. He spoke to Moses. Moses lifted his staff and they moved. In Joshua 3, he gave this to me right as we moved into the foundry, right? In Joshua 3:8, God told the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, yes, okay, to go and step into the Jordan River. The water didn't stop flowing until they stepped into the mud. Flowed all the way. It's not happening. It's not stopping. Step. Next steps. That is what we need to do. When the Israelites stayed in one place, they complained. They let anxiety come over. Nothing happened. They had to keep moving. So, quick slide. When you practicalize your faith, you surrender personal control. You cultivate constant prayer. Study written scripture. Listen in the silence and act in faith. That's how you follow the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you didn't get anything today, other than the fact that we have in-ear monitors and we've had mice and we believe in the power of God and Zach loves Twix, and we shared, the key to listening and to hearing the Holy Spirit is simple: prayer, scripture, worship, and waiting. Waiting doesn't mean he's not giving it to you because he doesn't believe you deserve it. I want to have practice on Thursday, 7:00. If you want to join the worship team, you can be there with us. I want to have practice on Thursday. Sometimes I get so anxious for Thursday, but can Thursday come any faster? Even though I want it. Practice can only come on Thursday, period. When the Lord says in Isaiah 60:44, at the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Waiting is usually about us and our own self-ambitions, what we want out of whatever it is right now. Waiting is not a punishment. It's part of the process. So, as we get ready to wrap this up, I'm telling you, bring everything to God in prayer. He wants to hear all the things. Prayer is not the time to be perfect. Prayer is not the time to be good. It is the time to give him everything. Are you angry? Tell him. Are you anxious? Tell him. Frustrated? Scared? Thankful? Grateful? Stubborn? Not believing? Tell him. He wants to know. I have stood where you are and said, this is what I want. But had to ultimately say, Lord, show me what you want. Show me your face. Don't want to die. Show me your face and live. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But show me your presence. Fill my life. I want to do your will. I don't know where I'm going in a year. This house is going to work out. I don't know if I'm going to have my university job because I signed a temporary contract when I first moved here to North Carolina and it isn't permanent yet. We're praying that's permanent. It's getting there every day. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. But I do know that God walks with us. His spirit is in us. And I'm not alone. Even when Zach leaves, my kids are gone, and if anybody, all else faded away, I'm not alone. You're not alone. God is with you. He didn't peace out when he had the whole ascension. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with you in the good, the bad, the hard, and he wants what is best for you. Because all things work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. When we are walking his mission. Blessings. Miraculous blessings. I found $300 in a purse that I checked 5 times, like right when I need it. And what did I need it? So I could buy pizza for the people who were moving me. Like, God supplies our needs. Let my life be a testament. If anything, giving you faith for your life to be a testament. Go forth and prosper. Yeah? So, I miss my family, but my joy is full. In Matthew, he says, I tell you these things so that way your joy may be full because my joy is not found in the physical things. Cake, sometimes. He is my joy. So I pray that you have not an emotional, temporary response today, but that you take this home, because my prayer is that a true encounter with the Holy Spirit, because without living with the Holy Spirit, we're dead. Are we a dead church? No. Go and love, and it will radically shake and change your life. Give God the opportunity to bless you and bless others. I asked my grandmother once, how can you just stand there and not worship God when Spirit's in this place? How come I'm crying because God is here and I feel his presence and everybody's staring at me in worship? They're not clapping, they're not dancing, they're not joyous, they're not okay. They don't love God. No, that's not necessarily it. Are we looking for an emotional response? Are you looking for something that's going to solve your problems? Or do you just want to be in the presence of God and let him fill you? I encourage you today, we're going to take a moment. I'm going to let you pray. Because I can do it for you. We can do it for you. This is your walk with God. Your struggle is your struggle. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're going through anything. I don't know if you're happy. I don't know if you're not trusting. I don't know if you are trusting. I don't know if yours is what kind of season this is for you. But your walk with God is your walk with God. But I can stand with you. And we can stand with each other. So I'm going to ask you to do 2 things. I'm going to ask you to surrender what you are hiding from. Your unbelief, faith, scared, fear of the future, whatever it is. And I want you, if you don't know, ask him to reveal it. And then be okay with what he says. Also be okay if you don't get an answer right away. That may come later through somebody else in a different way. Sometimes the answer is being still. give up the hidden idols we are serving. In Psalms 139, 23, 24, David writes, and it's not just a poem, and David crashes out back and forth, man, bipolar sometimes. It's a desperate cry for revelation. Say it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to reveal us. Reveal the things that are in our hearts. Expose the areas where we have relied on ourselves and not relied on you. Father, for those who need to see you tangibly in expression, please reveal your Holy Spirit in the big ways and the small ways through the love of the children, the person passing on the street, or the hello that we get every Sunday morning when we walk through these doors. I thank you for those who are serving you faithfully and yet they do not feel that they hear your voice. Lord, speak to them. Father, as a church, we want your presence. We want to be alive in you, and we know that without your Spirit, we are nothing. Not because I'm unworthy, but because you are everything. Our communion with you, our relationship with you, we want to be with you because it's not worth it without you. Fame, the glory, the money, the riches, the everything that can come of our life, our careers, our ambitions, it's not the same without your presence, God. And so I ask right now that you would put a hunger deep inside this church, to every person in this church, to go and to love, to stop seeking our ambitions and to seek your mission. And if they're already seeking your mission, to empower them by the Holy Spirit to be bold enough to go. To go and love others, to share the fruit, to make peach pies and apple crisp, and do all the things that you have called us to do, because your mission is what we want. We want more of you. I want more of you, God. So Holy Spirit, fill us. You are already here. You already are inside of us. We've invited you in. We've given you our lives. Fill us up, Jesus. Not one encounter, but a life where our joy is full and full of you. We don't want to leave this building the same. Please help us put the headsets of heaven. Silence the noise so we can listen to your voice. And step out onto the water today. Church, the altars are open. I grew up in a church where sometimes it was the walk of shame. This isn't a walk of shame. You don't have to come down here, but if you need prayer and we want to join in prayer together, I encourage you to ask the person next to you. I'm here. Pastor Joel's here. Worship. Lift your praise, lift your song, and ask for his presence. I'll give you a second.